Father God, we desire to encounter your love this morning. We invite you, Father, to come and pour your heart of love over every individual here this morning. We invite your presence here, God. That you would speak to us and that we would hear your voice. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name. This morning I want to just share some things of a journey that God's began in me quite some time ago. I guess if I were to go all the way back, how do you go all the way back? God just continues to walk us through so many things. But several years ago, I was in a situation at work where I had conflict with another man that I was working with. And I was struggling. I was not doing well with this. And I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't what God called us to. It wasn't what God called me to. And so I began to pray and ask God to give me the love that He desired for me to have to this man. Not much happened, so I kept praying. And not much happened, and I kept praying. And all of a sudden, about a year later, I suddenly realized that the animosity was gone. The strife and the contention between him and I was gone, totally gone. And after that, God put him and I in a partnership for 3 years. And we worked together side by side for 3 years with no conflict, no problems. Now, what would I have missed if I would have chose to stay in that area of conflict? And my question to all of us today is, what are we choosing to miss by staying in some conflict that we feel like we're so right in? That we're so confident that we have the right perspective of this and we should be justified in the situation that we're facing. So that instance in my life begin to shift my direction and cause me to question some things. Like, what is love? We talk about love all the time, right? Our society talks about love. I love that car. I love my dog. I love God. I love that person. What does that mean? What is love? And what I come out of it, looking at our society, what love is in our society, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is my perception. Love in our society is, you're going to give me what I want if you love me. Is that right? Is that pretty much the conception of love? Conception of love in marriage is, you're going to give me what I want. You're going to give me what I need. So then that filters over into our perception of what God's love is, right? You're going to give me what I want. You're going to give me what I need. Well, He's promised to give us what we need, but sometimes what we need is not what we perceive that we need. And so we start getting a little messed up with our thinking, huh? So, in this process, I don't know, what's it been, 6 years ago or so, we did a series of studies in our home group on Tuesday night by Bob Mumford about the Agape Road. And if you've done any Bible study at all, you know that there's several words in the Greek that was translated love in the English, and we just have the one word love. There's filial, which is a brotherly love, and reciprocal love, and there's agape, which I still don't have a definition for. We'll wade through some of that a little bit, but and then there's eros. And of course, we know that in our culture, eros has pretty negative connotations. And so Bob Mumford had done some looking at this. And according to his study, and I'm just taking his study, but the Greek word is not used in the New Testament because of its sexual corruption. But the essential meaning of eros is the desire or intention to possess, acquire, or control. Eros in Greek philosophy came to mean that which is loved for the purpose of personal satisfaction. Now, is that not what I just gave the definition of love in our world today? It is from this perspective that eros took on its sexual connotation. The word is not primarily sexual, but has more to do with living for my own personal advantage. The Greek symbol for eros is a serpent consuming his own tail. So it is a highly refined form of self-interest and self-seeking. It is a love that has become so distorted that its only purpose is to meet its own needs. And when we live in a culture that's their definition of love, what do we have? We have a lot of misunderstanding about what love is from God's perspective, right? So let's look at James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I think all of what I just said kind of explains some of what James is talking about, right? What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God, and when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, at this point in my life, I've been a Christian for quite a while. It's like, I don't do that. Right? I don't do that. Well, then Bob Mumford led us to seven giants, which you've probably got in your hand from your bulletin. And they are look good, feel good, be right, stay in control, hidden agenda, personal advantage, and remain undisturbed. And you go, Well, immediately I look at that, and my first thought was, okay, yeah, I might have a little problem with wanting to look good. And we're not talking about looking good in personal hygiene, right? Just general cleanliness. We're talking about manipulating situations so that we look good. We're talking about twisting things around and maybe exposing things in others' lives to try to help ourselves look a little better. Feel good. Oh, well, I don't have any problem with that, do I? Just want that all the time. Right? Is this not the human condition? Be right. Well, I know I'm not right all the time, but most of the time I am. Does anybody not feel this way? Huh? Stay in control. Got to control my situation so that I can continue to look good and feel good and be right. And behind all of that, there's this hidden agenda to get what I want when I want it. Because that's what love is, right? It's having what I want. And so if I love God and love others the way that I'm supposed to, that means I give them what they want, right? How does that work? Doesn't work very good, does it? Because sometimes we don't even know what we want. We think we do. We sure don't know what we need sometimes. Personal advantage, none of us struggle with that, do we? Where we manipulate situations to try to get the best advantage we can. Try to cut the guy off so we get the parking lot or parking space closest to the door, you know? No, we don't do that. We're Christians, right? Remain undisturbed. First I thought, really, I don't really feel like, you know, I can relate to all these others, but last 6 years, I've found out that one of my biggest problems is I want to remain undisturbed. I don't want anybody questioning my belief system, questioning my actions, questioning anything about me. I want to remain undisturbed. I want to remain just peaceful and content in seeking what I want. So what causes fights and quarrels among us? Wanting our own way. So we go to Matthew, which is, I think this verse has been quoted or read just about every Sunday now, right? Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." If everything in Scripture, everything in the Christian life hangs on loving God and loving others, then that's something we need to grasp. That's something I realized I need to grasp this. I need to understand what love is. And love is not getting what I want. So, we know that the Bible says that God is love, right? So the characteristics of God is love. So what is love? This true love that God desires to give us. One of the first views we have of this is in Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7. And here I am in Genesis. No wonder that's not looking right. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love, faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Well, that gives us a little different look at what love is, right? Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, or merciful, truthful, faithful, forgiving. So as I looked at this list versus the other list, I started realizing I need this list a lot more. And this other list that's been the most in my life about look good, feel good, be right, stay in control, hidden agenda, personal advantage needs to go. And I can tell you I've been working through this for several years, and I'm not where I want to be. But I started realizing that whenever I started feeling this thing rise up within me of conflict and wanting to justify myself and wanting to prove how right I am, that simply meant that I needed to come over here and look at this other side and say, God, where do I need to be compassionate? Where is it that you want me to be slower to anger? How can I reveal your grace in this situation? How can I be merciful to this person? How can I be truthful and share your truth? You see, I can't do any of those things when I'm trying to look good, feel good, be right, stay in control with all of my hidden agenda and personal advantage, and ultimately to remain undisturbed. You can see I memorized those pretty easy, right? They were pretty real in my life and still are every day. Since I have found this, I can tell you there's not a day gone by that my father hasn't tapped me on the shoulder and says, son, that's not what we're after. That's not going to work real well for you or them. So you might want to lay it down. You might want to quit fighting for this one. And see if you can't be a little more faithful and forgiving. We get another look at all of these same things over in 1 Corinthians, right? You knew I was going there, right? Had to get there sometime. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, of course. How can you talk about love without talking about the love chapter? Now, is all of those things that we just talked about in Exodus revealed in the New Testament? If we back up just a little bit, very beginning. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels and don't have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Think that might apply to look good, feel good, be right, stay in control, some of those things? If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Does that sound like what Jesus was saying? All of the law and prophets hang on love. So what is love? Love is patient. Could that be slow to anger? Love is kind. Could that relate to graciousness? Does not envy or is not jealous, some translations say. Could that be merciful? Does not brag or boast. It's truthful. Is not arrogant or proud. It's truthful. Is not rude. It's gracious. Is not self-seeking. It's compassionate. It's not easily angered, slow to anger, keeps no record of wrong, faithful, does not delight in evil, is forgiving, protects, is faithful, trust is faithful, hopes is faithful, preserves all things, is faithfulness. How many times have we said God is faithful? Do we grasp what that means? Not always, do we? Sometimes we just kind of rattle off religious talk. So this morning, I want you to invite you on a journey with me. I don't even know where it was. I should have looked this up. But to explore the love of God. I believe it's the message says to plumb its depths. To explore its breath. To reach up and seek for the outer boundaries of it, the height of God's love. So this morning, I want to invite you on this journey with me. I haven't arrived there at all. I'm just barely beginning. I'm just getting the very basics of an understanding of something that whenever things start welling up within me, I can go, wait a minute. That's over here. That's that look good, feel good, be right, stay in control, hidden agenda and personal advantage that I don't want any part of. And I sure don't want to remain undisturbed anymore. So what is it, God, that you desire to feel of you in me so that I can allow that to flow out of me to the world around me that's hurting, that's thinking that the best love that there is to get what they want from whoever they can get it? You see, that viewpoint of love sounds pretty good at the onset, But if you just scratch underneath the surface just a little bit, it doesn't sound so good. It's not really what we need. What we need is some compassion, some mercifulness, some graciousness, some slowness to anger, to not be so quick to be angered by what someone does. We all know, right? Usually what angers us most is what we do. Is that not right? What causes us to get the most angry is the things that we do to others that we don't like people doing to us. Good reason to be slow to anger, abounding in love. And you know, I've only scratched the surface. And I know I really haven't given you much of a definition of agape, maybe. But whenever I looked up agape in the thesaurus, it used some words like this: confounded, dumbfounded, overwhelmed, shocked, and thunderstruck. Now, does that not sound like the love that you and I are reaching for? Is that not the love that we desire from God and toward each other? Is that not the picture of what we desire in a marriage relationship, in a friendship? It's like, man, you can't believe this friend I've got. They will do anything for me. We need to start searching for love in all the right places instead of all the wrong places. And guess what that takes? Sacrifice. That word that none of us really like to hear too much of. If you've ever been around Brandon Cavs, you know that burning flesh kind of stinks, right? Now, what I've given you is burning flesh, right? And so when we offer that as a sacrifice and it starts to burn up, it stinks to us. But what does the Bible say about the sacrifices that the children of Israel said? It was a sweet-smelling favor in his nostrils. And I'm here to tell you today that whenever we lay down our look good, feel good, be right, stay in control, hidden agenda, personal advantage, and remain undisturbed, it stinks to us. It's hard. It's not what we want. It's not what feeds our flesh. But when we lay that down and let it burn, it will bring a sweet aroma to everyone around us. So Romans chapter 12. You knew I was going there too, right? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I hope, it's my desire, that this will wreck your world the same way it has mine, in a good way. That the next time you feel that anger or whatever conflict rising up in you, I challenge you to memorize these seven giants and these seven attributes of God, and allow the love of God to counter everything that the enemy brings to us. Because we know what the enemy does is he pulls apart, isolates, so that he can go for the kill. And everything that I've shared with you this morning is what causes isolation, causes us to pull back, to want to run and hide, and shift blame. That's exactly what he talks about. Adam and Eve, that was the first thing they did, right? When they sinned, they ran, hid, and shifted blame. Is that not what we want to do every time that we commit sin? We want to run, hide, and shift blame. That's when it's time to press in and say, no, God, fill me with your love. Bring me to a greater understanding of the depth of your love for me, and allow me to just give that love to those around us. On down in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, so much of this comes up whenever we perceive that we are lacking in something, right? Isn't that where some of this comes from? Some of the trigger points that triggers these giants in our lives, right? Feeling slighted. Yeah, that'll bring it up, huh? Being questioned. Revealed prejudice. We say, oh, we don't have that. Let me just share a little story that Bob Mumford shared in his book about a pastor friend of his who took the dishes from the church kitchen to cook meals for migrant workers who were homeless. He lost his position as pastor of the church because he took the things devoted to God to feed the poor. And we can look at that and say, oh, I'd never do that. But be careful, because sometimes these things sneak in where we didn't think they could sneak in. And they caused us to think thoughts that we never dreamed we would think, and caused us to take action on those thoughts that we never intended to think. Right? This, we know Satan appears as the angel of light, right? He's not going to come in and just waylay us. He sneaks in the back door and gets us thinking some wrong thoughts that leads us down a path of more wrong thoughts until we can find ourselves in that very place if we're not careful, if we don't submit to God. So, then the message puts it a little different way in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So this morning, my invitation to you is to join me in the journey of truly finding the love of God and allowing it to so fill my life that it casts out all fear, that I can freely share it with everyone I come in contact with. I don't know, maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ. We want to make it opportunity available to you this morning. Justin's going to be over here. Last worship team to come and just begin to play, and ministry team to come. And if you've never experienced this love that God has for you in salvation, and saying, yes, God, I want to commit my life to this, to your love. Would you come and just visit it with Justin or anyone else on the ministry team? Lead you through a sinner's prayer or a recommitment. Maybe you committed your life to God several years ago, and things have kind of grown cold, and you desire to rekindle that flame. And my challenge to the rest of us as the body is more from this day forward. And it's good to come and make a commitment, if you like, with some of the ministry team. But my real challenge to all of us is to begin to recognize when these seven giants that are trying to keep us from our inheritance are cropping up. Of looking good, feeling good, being right, staying in control, hidden agenda, personal advantage, and remain undisturbed. And that we would immediately, when God touches our life and causes us to recognize that those things are cropping up in our lives, that we will stop right there and say, God, fill me with your love. Fill me with your love toward this person, because right now is the opportunity to minister to them. In the midst of my anger, in the midst of my frustration, in the midst of my struggle, it's the opportunity to reach out in love. And say, I want to show compassion. I want to share the truth with you that God loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gone, He loves you. with an undying, everlasting love. And I want to share that with you. I want to be gracious. I want to be slow to anger. I want to be faithful. I want to be forgiving. So, Father, we recognize that in our humanness, this is impossible. So we need to lean on you. We need to experience you. We need you, Father, to encounter our lives with your love. God, you have shown us mercy over and over. You have given us grace so many times we can't even count it. You have been slow to anger at our unfaithfulness towards you, God. And we desire to give that to those around us. You have been forgiving, God. Our sins are many. But you chose to forgive them from before the foundation of the world. God, we want to walk in that. We want you to change us from the very core of our being, from the inside out, to love the way you love. To not allow offense and hurt to bring bitterness and strife and contention, but to allow that bitter, that hurt, and those offenses to bring forgiveness and mercy and grace. And God, we know that we need you to do that. And so we're asking you to reveal in us every time we start to go down the wrong path, that you would come and cause us to pause and look to you. And allow your spirit to overwhelm us again with your love. And we thank you, Father, for the way you love us. And we want to love well. In Jesus' name, amen.